Taking Stock with Pim Fox.
Up and down the streets of Cairo, there are still people in the streets. There's certainly efforts being made to deal with the issues that the protesters are raising. And we're going to take a look at those here on Taking Stock on Bloomberg. I'm Dave Wilson, along with Pim Fox. And with us, we have John Bradley, who's the author of a book called Inside Egypt, The Land of the Pharaohs on the Brink of a Revolution. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, nice to be with you.
So you wrote this book back in 2008. Looking at events as they have unfolded, you must have some satisfaction in kind of seeing the way that things were going to fall ahead of time. Has it kind of gone the way you figured it would?
Pretty much so, yes. I was convinced there was going to be a revolution. And when the book came out, it was mocked by pretty much everyone in the West. But it was celebrated by the Egyptian opposition. There's a vibrant opposition media in Egypt, oddly enough, with the you can criticize the president on the front pages of certain newspapers. And they celebrated the book. They really championed it. And it didn't seem at all odd to them that I was predicting a revolution. And in fact, what I said was that it would happen about now, because it would happen at that time when the president was finally going to try to install his son on the throne, as it were. And it would also have, it wouldn't be instigated by the Muslim Brotherhood, but the Muslim Brotherhood would ride the wave afterwards, and that's precisely what they've done as well. So it's all, and I also said, finally, that I thought that the regime would probably be able to crush it, and that seems to be what's happening at the moment.
John Bradley, should the United States be seen to be taking sides in this situation?
Well, inevitably, the United States is taking sides because America loves its puppet Arab dictators. And it's doing its best to try to keep hold of Mubarak. And if Mubarak goes, then at least to keep the repressive military regime in place so that it does America's bidding. The problem is that we risk seeing an action replay of the 1979 revolution in Iran. That revolution is often described as an Islamist revolution, but initially it wasn't. It was very much like what we're seeing now on the streets of Cairo. People from all sections of Iranian society took part. The Islamists were a minority. The problem is that Washington decided to prop up the Shah right until the last minute, and it created a groundswell of anti-American sentiment as a result. And in the chaos that followed the revolution and the fall of the Shah, it was the Islamists who were the best organized and most disciplined group who were able to fill the vacuum. And the longer that Washington props up Mubarak and his regime, clearly against the will of the Egyptian people, the anti-American sentiment will grow too in Cairo and other cities in Egypt, and it's the Muslim Brotherhood. Again, the biggest and the best organized of all the opposition groups who will fill the vacuum too.
John Bradley, is this as much a revolution having to do with economics and business and corruption in the government as it has to do with political instability and political impotence on the part of many Egyptians?
I think it's an equal measure, the result of these two things. And they go hand in hand, of course. You've had the implementation over the past 10 years or so of the crudest kind of neoliberal policies. Privatization, which in a sense, the critics, even the Muslim Brotherhood, who are very pro-capitalist, because it's not at all communist, which is to say atheist, the critics are kind of like Ron Paul and Peter Schiff, the kind of libertarians you find in America. They're not anti-capitalist. They're anti-rigged capitalism. And that's a system you've had in America. You've seen you've seen the rich getting incredibly rich, the decimation of the middle class, and the poverty level is almost just extraordinary. Some 40 to 60% of Egyptians living on or below the poverty line on about $2 a day. And when that comes hand in hand with corruption to the extent that Egypt is one of the most corrupt countries on earth, and you basically can't do anything in Egypt without paying a bribe. Obviously, it became a very combustible situation.
When you mention Ron Paul and Peter Schiff, I'm thinking these are people that have a definite point of view. They're also outside the mainstream. in terms of what's happening in Egypt, how do you satisfy people in that category and still satisfy those people who are living on less than $2 a day?
Yeah, so basically, Egypt's problems are unsolvable. The corruption and the poverty and the complete breakdown of the social order is so profound and so vast that nothing can be done in the short term. It's going to take years, if not decades, to turn this situation around. And that's one reason why you see the Muslim Brotherhood behaving very cautiously. Everyone thinks the Muslim Brotherhood suddenly wants to take over tomorrow. But the Muslim Brotherhood, it was founded in 1928, and its aim has always been, in the decades since, to Islamicize Egyptian society from below, not to gain power for the sake of power, because with power comes responsibility and accountability. And they know that no government in the world is liked by its people after about 2 or 3 years in power. So this situation is basically unresolvable. It's pretty much like the Israeli-Palestinian issue.
Whatever. To continue the conversation with John Bradley, he is the author of the book Inside Egypt, The Land of the Pharaohs on the Brink of a Revolution. Once again, if you're interested in receiving the daily email schedule of the guests and the topics on Taking Stock, just send an email to bsoriano1@bloomberg.net. You'll be able to find out who's going to be on the program, what they're going to be talking about, and even interact and post some specific questions. Once again, it's bsoriano1@bloomberg.net. If you're listening via a podcast, same thing, just send us an email. If you're listening while you're on the treadmill, in the car, or indeed listening via satellite radio. Once again, bsoriano1@bloomberg.net. We're speaking with John Bradley. He is the author of Inside Egypt, The Land of the Pharaohs on the Brink of a Revolution. John Bradley, you make us seem as though we're just going to have to live with this instability and this lack of a conclusion. That seems to be something that at least Americans, particularly in the foreign policy world, find very difficult to accept, that they're not able to control events. Is that going to be part and parcel of the future in the Middle East for a while?
I think so, yeah. That's one reason why nobody wanted to listen to the prediction that I made in the book. They just couldn't countenance the idea that a great pillar of American foreign policy was about to fall. And I think in Egypt, historically, Egypt has been the trendsetter of the Middle East, or at least the Arab world. One in four Arabs are Egyptians. And what happens in Cairo happens elsewhere in the Arab world sooner or later. And so all eyes should be on Cairo at the moment. And actually, I think we're going to see this week some kind of resolution, or at least a very clear indication of where things are going, because everything depends on Friday prayers. This Friday, if the talks between the opposition and the government collapse, and if the opposition manage to get out once again, hundreds of thousands of people onto the street, it looks like Mubarak's days will be numbered. And then we're certainly going to be in for a great deal of more instability. But if the talks resume, and if the opposition numbers dwindle in the main square in Cairo and in other cities, then I think that Mubarak may just have saved his bacon. And for all its declarations of promoting democracy in the Arab world and elsewhere, Washington will be hugely relieved.
So you're talking about a couple of different scenarios here. What do you see as the most likely outcome?
It's very difficult to predict short term. What seems to be happening is that you have to remember the 60% or so of Egyptians live in poverty, and they're very nationalistic. And the regime has used the state-controlled media to manipulate the situation to the extent that they may even be able to marginalize the opposition. What they're saying is that this is, of course, a Zionist plot or a plot by foreign elements, and the journalists are Israeli spies and so on. And you see this gaining some resonance among certain sections of the population. And Mubarak has always said that he represents stability. It's a crude and kind of perverted kind of stability, but Egypt hasn't been to war during the 3 decades that he's been in power. And superficially, at least, the country has been quite stable. And lots of, a great percentage of Egyptian people work in the tourism industry, and the offshoots of the tourism industry, which has been decimated. What's left of the middle class is relying on foreign investment and the stock market. The stock market remains closed. Foreign investors are withdrawing their money at a remarkably fast pace, to the extent that they're terrified of reopening the stock exchange. And so there is a, I think that there is a decent chance this week that the Mubarak regime will once again gain the momentum. They're not going to stop the demonstrations completely, but they may be able to just say, well, we can live with it.
John Bradley, in Arabic, if you're talking about bread in Egypt, the word is aish, which literally translated means life, as opposed to khobas, which is what's, I believe, the term in the rest of the Arabic world. Is there an element that the government is missing in terms of subsidizing food and energy prices? Could they come in and solve this by just offering people more money?
No, because already basic commodities in Egypt are heavily subsidized. It takes up a huge sum of the government's expenditure. And they were trying to do the opposite, in fact, because hand in hand with IMF and World Bank implemented reforms and privatization and modernization came cutting back of the subsidies.
All right, we're going to leave it there. I want to thank you very much, John Bradley. He is the author of Inside Egypt, The Land of the Pharaohs on the Brink of a Revolution.
You can subscribe to Bloomberg's premium podcast service at Bloomberg.com/Tom Keene and listen to Taking Stock weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on satellite radio, Sirius Channel 130 and XM Channel 129. Copyright 2011, Bloomberg LP.